Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all our listeners. This is Star, and you are listening to the George Foster Diamond Report, where all bases are covered. We're so excited for such a great show this evening, and Coach Foster, he's just on his way. As you know, this radio show, George Foster Diamond Report, is every Sunday at 9:30, and feel free to call in. Guests are free to ask us any questions or for advice at 347-539-5397. Hello, Coach Foster.
Good evening.
How are you this evening?
Doing well. A lot of good baseball games this week.
Yes, certainly, and we'll get right into it. This evening, we're going to be talking about what it takes to get to the next level. But first, before we get into our main topic, let's go to our Behind the Bench segment, which is the news that's going on with MLB. Now, in the news, I'm sure everyone heard that the Marlins coach was fired and they replaced the former coach with the GM. What are your thoughts with that, Coach Foster?
Number one, I didn't think he was a good choice. Redmond was a good choice in hiring in the first place. And now they're taking the GM and putting him down to manage. And when teams, when they talk about winning, they don't really know the formula as far as winning. And you need to get somebody who's played the game and played the game at a high level to become a manager. So Redmond, he played the game, but he didn't play it at a higher level. And Jennings, I don't know much about him. If he did play as a player, he hadn't played at a higher level. So they have a lot of talent there, but they don't have a guy who can guide them in the right direction. So it just shows me that they don't know the formula to be successful. So with this guy becoming a manager, I don't believe I know this club's not going to be successful. So I don't agree with the hiring of him, but it saves money because they don't have to go outside and get another person, even though they had to pay Redmond the rest of his salary. But Jennings is already there, so they don't have to bring in somebody else and pay him more money.
That's true. Now, what are your thoughts about individuals who say this is a deep team, they're very strong, and will it make a difference whether they have a coach that's actually giving them advice or can they do it on their own with their hitting coach and pitching coach?
Well, I feel that a manager can win or lose 10 or 15 games during the course of the year, and it's those 10 or 15 games make a big difference when it gets later in the season. So, but once again, they don't take account of that. It's if you play the game, you have an idea if you want to bunt a guy over, you want to hit and run, or if you want to take a pitcher out. Certain small things make a big difference in the playing of a game. If you want to walk a guy on the opposing team because he's hitting that team well or he's on a hot streak. So things like that will make a big difference in the decisions that are going to be made. So time will tell what this guy will do, but you usually make decisions on experience, and it's a gut feeling. But if you have not experienced it before, it's learning on the spot. So you're having a rookie manager there, but here's a team that's ready to win, but you don't have a guy who has the know-how to do it.
And this is certainly true. And although light has not been shed upon this issue that often, how many coaches are out in the organization that actually have played at that high level, not including the minor leagues?
Well, there's a quite I could name. Well, Ken Griffey Sr. He has the knowledge and the ability. He was a guy that was an all-star on a major league level, who's played at least 18 to 19 years on a higher level, and he's done things. He's managed on I know on a lower level, but he has experience at least, and he knows the game. But there are guys out there who have more experience than this guy does and know how to win. And that's the key, knowing how to win, knowing how to set a lineup, knowing what guys he needs to rest or what moves he needs to make in certain situations. So I would say it's one of those situations that they're, in a sense, to me, starting all over again. They think it's going to be impactful for the Marlins, but it's going to set him back.
This is true, and it's not the right time or a good time to do the setback right in the height of the season. I know when you look at other sports, the basketball specifically, and also even in football, they keep a lot of their players and they hire them in positions and what they played at, and they're able to give advice and help out the current players because they've been through that situation. And it seems as though in baseball, they don't really bring in the players and putting them in either the front office positions or even on the field as hitting coaches or pitching coaches and managers.
Well, they don't. If they bring people from the field, the playing field, they don't bring guys in who have shown how to play the game and have that experience once again playing the game. They've been an all-star or been a top player at their position, and at least they have that experience knowing how to go about doing it, just getting an opportunity to do it as a manager. They feel that anybody can manage, but I don't agree with that or understand that the best managers are the ones who are not the better players. Once again, I don't agree with that, but I just feel that you want to go and get the best and the quality going to give you a head start. And then also having around him people who are experienced. You look at the Reds, you know, last year they had a rookie manager and they had a rookie bench coach. Now they have a year under their belt, but they still learning the game themselves as far as a manager or bench coach. So you want to have someone not just learning the game, but already know the game. I mean, every day you want to improve on what you do, but you don't want to have to start from scratch each time. You want to make some quality decisions and not just a guesswork. You're doing it from experience.
Definitely that experience definitely holds a lot of weight. I mean, also outside of sports, having that experience in your job, they would want to see that versus someone fresh, even though they've studied the books, and in baseball they may have studied the books or studied the players, but not the same as when you're right on that field. Our next topic, they are talking about the Detroit Tigers, Cabrera, the 300th home run. What are your thoughts about him and his success in getting so close to Hank Aaron's record?
Well, as Cabrera, he has 400 home runs, but I don't feel he may end up with maybe 500 home runs. So that's maybe averaging 30 home runs in the next 3 or 4 years. But I don't believe he'll get close to Willie Mays, which has 660, or Hank Aaron, or even Babe Ruth's record, but that's a great, it's a record as far as Detroit players are concerned, and I believe it's a record as far as a Dominican player. Well, I wouldn't say a Dominican because Sosa was up there way over 500, but it's a record for Detroit. Galarraga, I think, had 399. So that's a great, he's had a great career. Of course, he's won 2 back-to-back MVPs, won a triple crown. So that's it's awesome to see him out there still being consistent. I call him the hitting machine because this guy, every year, being healthy, he's going to put up great numbers.
That's certainly true. And speaking of great numbers, Bryce Harper is also doing his successes on the field. And in the past, he's been hurt a lot, but now it seems as though he's rising to the occasion and also being a young player. And it's hard just to realize that he's been already in the league for 4 years.
Right. Once again, that experience starting to pay off, and he started to make adjustments. That was a big deal, making adjustments and staying healthy. And thus far, he's showing that he's making adjustments, but now is seeing how he's going to be not only productive the rest of the season, but being healthy. If he's healthy, he has a good opportunity to be more productive. As a hitting instructor, I don't particularly like his batting style, but so far they're throwing the ball in his swing. But once they start making an adjustment and he doesn't make the adjustment, it's going to be back to his old way of playing the game. But right now, he's been very productive in helping the ball club win, and that's what they're looking for him to do. But on him understanding that don't try to go out there and carry the team, but do what he can do to help the ball club win, and hoping that other guys on the team will contribute.
That's certainly true. Understanding your role, and then you see that it's quite apparent in the NBA playoffs, because it really comes down to the wire of what role you're going to play, and not doing too much or not overdoing it. Just keeping that same path as what you have always been doing from the beginning to the end.
Right, because it's a good example with the Chicago Bulls when they weren't winning, even though Michael Jordan was out there scoring, averaging 40 or 45 points a game, but they didn't have that balance. And when you get the Pippen and the rest of the guys contributing, and then being able to share the ball, they become more of a teamwork, a team effort. But if one guy is doing it, they can pitch around that guy, or and in certain situations, making sure that he's not the one that's going to be, if he's in a situation that the team can win the game, they will go to somebody else in that situation to see if they're going to do it. So it's like I said, it's a team effort, and you got to make sure everybody realizes what their role is and going out there and being prepared for that role.
Yes, certainly. Preparation, and that's what we talked about in our last segment. So speaking of these young players and achieving these records and coming close to, or approaching or having that in your goals of Hank Aaron, Jackie Robinson, all these phenomenal role models, what would your advice be to those who are in the preparation, who are in the younger years, the youth, in high school or in little league, and those players who basically eat, sleep, dream all about the sport of baseball? How do you make sure that what you're doing is effective and you're not just working on something that's not beneficial?
Well, it's number one is being physically prepared, doing what you need to make sure your body is prepared for whatever task that's going to be in front of you. And then finding out from people who are experienced, who's your type of hitter, your type of player, finding out from them are ready to play the game, not only one day, but day in and day out. Because I advise guys, even though you work hard in spring training or off season, make sure you maintain that during the course of the year. And as far as running, make sure you do your running, because your legs are very important in whatever you do on the field. If it's running, throwing, or hitting, you got to make sure your legs are strong. And running foul pole to foul pole, at least four of those each day, is going to help maintain. Doing some type of weight training, light weights, to keep yourself ready. So that's very important. And then working on your mechanics so it can become second nature, that you don't have to think about it. You just react to it. But you got to do it over and over again to have that muscle memory.
This is certainly true. And as a young athlete, do you think that athlete needs the full entire package, or just being good at one aspect.
Well, I tell kids that if you can do one thing well, if it's stealing bases, if it's hitting home runs or hitting for average or being a good defensive catcher or being good on defense, you can have a long career. And if you can add to that one more thing or looking to keep improving on that one thing, you become like Ozzie Smith. He was more known for defense, but he worked on his hitting, and so he become a threat at the plate. So it's never be complacent in just learning one thing. It's keep building on that certain advantage. But it's finding out that if you have good running speed, learn how to steal bases, learn how to bunt for base hits. So that's going to be your weapon, but you want to add to that weapon.
I certainly agree with that. And speaking of weapons, I know there are a lot of young players who aspire to be those who are on the professional level. However, imitation versus emulation. So would your advice, I know there's players who just want to hit the home runs and hit it out of the park or swing, do that swing with one hand. What would your advice be for those who aspire to be exactly like those pros?
Well, it's going out there
and
make sure you have sound fundamentals and working on those fundamentals day in and day out. I use golf or tennis as an example. You see them out there in tennis working on the forehand, working on the backhand, working on hitting it down the line across court. Golf, working on the chip shot, working on your putting. And baseball, you want to work on every aspect of the game, but once again, finding out what type of hitter you are. If you're a power hitter, if you are an average hitter, if you're a guy that's going to just hit the ball and get on base to steal bases, but finding out what you are and then look at players who or similar in that role, but you got to do it and trust it and have that confidence you can do it day in and day out. As a hitter, you can get 3 hits out of every 10 at-bats. That's 300 batting average. But you want to get good pitches to hit, learn what pitches you can hit, and be aggressive on a regular basis. And it's very grinding playing day in and day out, but you got to get yourself physically, mechanically and mentally ready for whatever task that you're confronted with.
Yes, this is fairly true. And from personal experiences from playing tennis in college as well as being a coach on the collegiate level, I used different players' weapons, but I eventually made it my own. So if someone had a great forehand or a great serve, I would tweak my strokes to be similar to that, but not just focusing on one individual, just taking each individual's strength from different players. And I think that is a good way of thinking about it. And therefore, then your own strengths and talents will come out as your own player versus just trying to do everything like one individual.
Right, because I pattern myself after Tony Perez, who's in the Hall of Fame. He could hit for power and also hit for average, but he's also a great clutch hitter. So it's learning to hit with 2 strikes and hit deep into the count. But learning up to 2 strikes, looking for your pitch to be able to drive, is not necessarily driving out of the ballpark, being able to drive it in the gaps. And you may not hit the home run, but you still may get an RBI. But then also trusting that you can hit deep in the count. If you have 1-2, or 2-2, or 3-2 count, but having an approach. What is your approach in every situation? And go from there. You got to get your, once again, to keep using that word, being prepared, but you have to have an approach when you go up to the plate, not go up there because it's your turn to bat. You got to go up there with the idea, have an idea what you're going to do and not do what the pitcher wants you to do. if he throws you inside, you don't have to learn how to take that pitch inside to hit it up the middle or hit it the right field. It comes from taking batting practice day in and day out and not being complacent with your batting average being 270 or 280 or less than that. You want always, you want to never stop improving on what you do. It's, and it doesn't mean just baseball, but whatever you do in life, never stop improving.
And I completely agree with that, and that sort of is the overall theme and highlight of this evening is never stop improving and always have that preparation no matter what, because you know, you never know what may happen. Someone may get hurt and you have to step up to the plate. What would you say to those players who just want to understand or know specifically steps of what to do to get to the high level? Is it a good idea to make a goal for 1 year, 3 years, a five-year goal, or to write down your specific dreams that you want to accomplish?
Well, it becomes threefold. You want to make a current goal, intermediate goal, and a long-range goal. Your current goal is that that particular season is going month by month. If you want to, say, hit 35 home runs or 30 home runs during the course of the year, say 30 home runs, so you'd look at 6 months during the course of the season, you need to average these 5 home runs a month. If you want to get 200 hits, you got to average 33 hits a month. So, and then you break it down as such. So then now you say we end up with 200 hits that particular season. Now you look at maybe 5 years down the road, you want to have at least 1,000 hits. And long-range goal, you may want to have 2,500 to 3,000 hits. But you need to have goals to push yourself, to encourage yourself to get better and better, and not to become complacent. You want to strive for excellence, not for perfection, but strive for excellence. You never know what you can do unless you go out there and apply yourself to the utmost.
Ending to the main part of our segment, and of course you can call our show every Sunday at 9:30. Ask us questions, your opinion. Our number is 347-539-5397 on the George Foster Diamond Report. And we're coming to or approaching the George Foster wrap-up. The three-star highlights. First, who would you say the catalyst player of the week is?
I would say the pitcher for the Yankees had he was going for a record, but in 7 innings he had struck out around 17, 18 guys, and he was dominating that particular game, and I'm glad to see he has come back from arm surgery of a year ago, but he's like 6'7 or 6'8, and he can dominate. He showed that he can dominate a ball club, and that was great for him to be able to come back and do what he did do, and it's a shot in the arm for the Yankees to have somebody to step up like he had done.
Yep, stepping up is truly, like you said, playing your role at the pivotal time. What team stood out the most for you this week?
I see the resiliency of the Houston Astros. It seemed as though they started to lose ground, but they didn't lose the confidence. And they still out there swinging the bats well and getting good pitching. And they have great chemistry going on their ball club. It's exciting seeing that the Astros are being a contender at the time. By July or so, it'd be interesting to see where they are. But at the time, they're showing great resiliency and productivity and having that desire to go out there and apply themselves and thusly become winners.
I completely agree. And what play this week stood out to you? Play of the week.
Trying to think of the play of the week. I would look at the Cardinals with the good pitching that they have had. Great defense on their part, but I guess more so looking at Kansas City. Kansas City with Kane, this guy, he's not only doing it on offense, but he's doing it on defense. And he's driven in 5 runs, RBIs in 1 game. And then also on defense, he's been stellar. He's a gold glover out there. So Kane for Kansas City Royals, he's been doing it on offense and also on defense. So he's been the guy that's really helped that ball club to stay where they are.
Yep, and it's so exciting. I know, audience, stay tuned every week to hear the George Foster 3-star highlights, which include the Catalyst Player, the Team of the Week, and as well as the Play of the Week. And I'm going to go down with the scores of this evening, Monday night. We have some late games, actually. St. Louis is tied with New York Mets 1-1 in the bottom of the 14th. Oakland is in the top of the 9th, and they are winning against Houston 2-1. The Phillies are winning 4-1 against Colorado, and they are in the bottom of the 8th. Los Angeles fell to Toronto 6-10 as the final score, and Milwaukee came out with a big W against Detroit, 3-2. Arizona, same score, came out with a W against Miami, 3-2. And Cleveland fell to the Chicago White Sox, 2-1. So please call in every Sunday at 9:30. We'd love to hear your comments. And this evening, it's really about the improvement and the preparation. You can't have perfection without consistently wanting to improve, as Coach Foster said. And it brings upon a quote, actually, from Mark Twain, which said, "Continuous improvement is better than delayed perfection." So this is every Wednesday at 9:30, the George Foster Diamond Report, where all bases are always covered. It's about the development, strength, and the drive of the athlete. Signing off, this is Star Foster, and I hope everyone has a great evening. Have a good night, Coach Foster.
Have a good night, and tell everybody that never stop improving. That's going to help you become a better player, a better person.
Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch. And there goes a line drive to left field. Swan is after it. He leaps. It's over his head against the wall. Here comes Gillian scoring.